Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's April 17th. I went to the post office today to mail something out, and lo and behold, it was lined up with lots of dutiful citizens, presumably filing their income tax returns, and of course, presumably filing accurate income tax returns. We'll see. The IRS has been complaining about the fact that they're not getting as much money as they should, so look out, folks. They're going to come looking for you. Oh, I had a few things I wanted to talk about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but you know what? I have been so busy today working on a wide variety of things, several books, several items for American Free Press, all sorts of funny little things that interest me and I hope will interest you whenever I finally get around to do them. But be that as it may, although I have a briefcase full of news items that I wanted to discuss, guess what, folks? I don't feel like getting up and getting my briefcase out and shuffling through that material. But there is some interesting material in there, but, you know, it's going to hold for a day or two. So what I'm going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is just open up the phones right away. We had quite a few calls last night. We couldn't get them in because I was preoccupied with discussing a madman. So if you want to call in here, feel free to do so right now. The number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. While I'm waiting for your calls, I will tell you that I just had delivered to me a few days ago a very interesting, very detailed, very scholarly article by Martin Kerr. Apparently it's, I don't know how old it is, but the title of the article is very interesting. The Myth of Hitler's Jewish Grandfather. This article lays to waste that old crazy story that, well, Hitler was really Jewish. No, Hitler wasn't really Jewish. Hitler was German, about as German as you can get, for better or for worse. And this article lays waste to it. Some evening I might even just read it on the program because I know a lot of you heard that story about Hitler's Jewish grandfather, and it's become an article of faith to many people. But guess what, folks? It just ain't true. It ain't any more true than the idea that Adolf Hitler tried to take the guns away from the Germans. That myth is no more true that Adolf Hitler was secretly working for the Zionists. It ain't any more true than the old myth that Hitler that Hitler burned down the Reichstag, which he didn't. In any case, this is a very interesting piece by Mr. Kerr, and one night when I feel like it, when I have the energy to sit down here and just go through this article to you with you in detail, I will do it. But suffice it to say, you know, it's just another one of the myths of history, current and past, that get into widespread circulation. People believe them. Sometimes they want to believe them, sometimes they just believe them because it's in black and white, or these days, on the Internet. All right, folks, Michael Collins Piper here. If you want to call in, you're free to do so. We'll talk about whatever you want, as I say, up to a point. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about a free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned of the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you're obviously listening. At least a handful of people are anyway tonight, because I have a whole lineup of callers, and that saves me having to go to my briefcase. All right, we might as well go right to the callers here. We've got Larry in Florida. Larry, come on up.
Hi, Michael.
How you doing tonight?
I heard on NPR today that some Korean immigrants and Korean Americans were afraid to show their faces on the streets today because they were afraid that there would be a racial backlash because one of their members of their group had had perpetrated that massacre.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can imagine that.
Well, I'd like to issue a statement to Korean immigrants and Korean Americans.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Korean immigrants and Korean Americans, don't worry. The reason for you not to worry is because there has been a racial minority group in this country for centuries, and for generations they've been robbing, murdering, and raping us, raping my people with impunity, and we haven't run them out of the country. In fact, some of your own Korean storekeepers, many of them, have been gunned down behind the counters of their establishments that they were trying to run in depressed parts of various cities around the country. So I think we're fellow victims. So believe me, we are not going to run you people out of the country, because whoever heard of Korean criminals in America? I never heard of any.
I can't think of any that I know of.
Right.
And all my friends in the D.C. jail ain't Koreans.
No. So Koreans, this was just a freak situation. So y'all just go on about your business and don't worry about anything. Because we've got, if we ever get around to running anybody out of the country, we got way bigger fish to fry than you guys.
Well, Larry, to tell you the truth, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But be that as it may, you know, I will say one thing about this really horrible thing out here in Virginia. Somebody pointed out to me today, and it's absolutely true, so I might as well say it. If that had perchance been a Muslim who had done that, it would have already been escalated into a terrorist attack, even if it was a nutty individual who had absolutely no connections to anybody. The Zionist-controlled media would have figured out a way to make a connection. And all the neoconservatives would be calling for a roundup of the Muslims just in case any other Muslims were planning to shoot up a college campus.
Oh, yeah, the media is the one who's running this whole show. Everybody makes a big deal of these white boys who have shot up some schools over the years, the Arkansas and Colorado and various places. And these things are kind of freakish things that just happen once in a blue moon. But the reason the metal detectors are in the schools, the reason the, quote, school resource officers, which are nothing but armed policemen, are stationed in each and every school, at least down here in Florida, is because it all started, and I'm 55 years old, and I remember when it started, was forced integration.
Oh, I think you're right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And things started getting really rough, really fast in these schools. When I was a kid, there was nothing the principal and the dean of boys could not handle. The police never came onto campus because the principal and the dean of boys could handle it all because it was an all-white school. I never went to school with blacks. But after I was off in the military and they integrated the schools, all of a sudden there's metal detectors in the schools, there's police officers in the schools, there's big, nasty incidents in the schools, and shootings. A little shooting here, a little shooting there, another shooting here, another shooting there, and the body count from these little individual incidents stretched out over decades all over the nation, the body count is way bigger than Columbine or this incident or the Arkansas thing or any of these others all put together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, another thing that comes to mind, in a lot of these recent shootings, not just school shootings, a lot of these people were on psychiatric drugs, and there's no question about that. My old colleague at American Free Press, Tony Blizzard, early on picked up about the fact that the Columbine boys were under were at least one of them was using psychiatric drugs. So that's another consideration here that we don't know what came into play here at Virginia Tech, but you know, just talking about how the media is covering it, I know yesterday I heard two very specific stories that were told about what had happened, and you know, I tell you what, they absolutely were totally untrue. Descriptions of what had happened didn't happen, you know. So we have to not discount necessarily, but raise our eyebrows and just be very, very careful about how we respond to what we're hearing in the media, because, you know, we're going to get a lot of lies out of this, absolute lies. There's going to be a big campaign for gun control again. That's all, that noise is already in the works. But, you know, of course, I mean, it sounds almost repetitive and rhetorical to say it, but let's face it, if somebody had a gun on the scene, they could have taken that gunman out before 30 people died. But, of course, that's politically incorrect to say that, but let's just say it for the record.
Oh, it's true. You know, and state legislatures around the country are starting to address bullying in schools. Now, what the state can do about it, I don't know. But me and you both and everybody, all your listeners, we all had to put up with bullies in school, in our school days when we were young. And You know, I look at school as teaching the youth Darwinism, now social Darwinism, not from anything the teachers are saying, just from what's going on around you. The captain of the football team and the head cheerleader are the king and the queen. You know, I hate it to admit it, but that's the way it was. And the popular kids, the rich kids, ruled the roost, and us raggedy little poor kids just tried to stay out of the way and adapt the best we could. And the bullies were there, and you learned to either cope with the bullies. I would get a really stony face, a look on me, and I was a little shrimp. I'd get a real hardcore stone face on me. And try to blend into the crowd. And once in a while, when I was cornered, I was all bluff, you know, like, get away from me or else, you know, and it worked, because there wasn't a thing I could do, but, you know, I learned to act that way. And so for the state legislator to be jumping in, making laws against school bullying, I mean, come on, people, get over it.
You know, it's interesting talking about school bullies, you know, considering the fact that I was accused, as you probably heard if you heard the show last night, this idiot, nutty professor was suggesting that I was going to come and break his legs or have a bunch of skinheads do it for me. You know, the funny thing is, I've only ever punched one person in my life. Somebody was bullying me, and, you know, I was feeling bad and feeling blue, and then I heard the old story, punch the bully, and, you know, I punched the bully. Gave him a bloody nose. He punched me in the stomach, and we became friends after that. I'll tell you something else, too, about the schools today. There's at least two people I know who are both academics, who are both teachers. Both of them have PhDs. One is a psychiatrist, Dr. Robert John. He has put forth the thesis, and I think quite correctly, that a lot of the violence in the schools today stems from the fact that students are being constantly indoctrinated with this Holocaust imagery and propaganda, pictures of dead bodies, people being plowed into mass graves, talking about violence. This desensitizes people to violence. You know, we worry about violence in the media and all these bloody films out of Jewish Hollywood, but American kids get it in their guidance classes, in their history classes, and in their school English classes on a regular basis. I even had an English teacher in my high school give extra credit to a student who built a model of the Auschwitz concentration camp. So if we wonder why kids are desensitized to violence, we might start taking a look at these Holocaust education programs and put them in the garbage bin of history right where they belong.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to get off the line, but when I do, I'm going to turn on my radio again. Would you tell us about the Holocaust conference you're going to be going to in California?
Well, I'm not going to a Holocaust conference in California. There isn't one in California. There is one in West Virginia. Forget the date. Memorial Day weekend, I believe. The National Alliance is holding it. Arthur Butz is going to be a speaker there, and Willis Cardo is going to be a speaker there. And I'm going to have Willis on as a guest once again to talk about that upcoming Holocaust conference. I think a lot of people will want to go to it.
All right, great. Bye.
All right, thanks, Larry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper with Open Phones.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we
We need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Piper returning to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. You haven't checked out American Free Press on the internet? Do it. It's at AmericanFreePress.net. And you will find, of all things, a blog with some of our authors, including Mark Glenn, who's on this program pretty regularly, myself. You know what, folks? I had listed some links on my blog, recommended links, and I got so many nasty emails from people, or not nasty emails, really, but emails saying, why do you link to so-and-so? He says this, and why do you link to so-and-so? She says that, and blah, 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 blah. So you know what I did? I took all the links off because I don't feel like having to explain what other people say. You can hear what I have to say on this program or check out what I've written in my books for American Free Press and many places on the internet. Anyway, you might want to check those blogs out. One of the first ones I wrote was dealing with the question, why the Jews? Why am I always talking about the Jews and Zionism? Well, the answer is very simple, because the Jews and Zionism play a very powerful political role in our world today. Now, get your pen and paper handy. I'm going to give you information on that Holocaust conference, which is Memorial Day weekend, May 26th and May 27th, the one that Larry, our caller from Florida, was just talking about. So in a minute or so, I'll give you that information. In the meantime, let's go to our caller, Ed, in Illinois. Ed, are you there?
Hello.
How you doing, Ed?
Hi. Hi, how you doing, Mike?
How you doing? What's going on tonight?
Yeah. Well, very, very nice talking to you. Being on the line with you. Last time I talked to you was maybe possibly a year ago when you were interviewing Poker Face. Remember that?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I just talked to Paul Tepeti of Poker Face, and their website, by the way, is pokerface.org. Yeah, I just talked to Paul about 2 days ago. Good man.
Excellent. Excellent people. And we just saw him in Knob Creek couple days ago.
Oh, down at the gun shoot. Yeah. I didn't know they were. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of weird over here in Chicago. We like our guns a little bit. You know,
well, you need them.
Under the table. I was the guy that said that anybody that doesn't have 10,000 rounds of 22 and two copies of every Poker Face album is not a good American patriot.
you know, Paul's music is real good music. Poker Face,
it really
music.
Is. Yeah. You know, if you listen to it, it's hardcore. It's there. Anyway, I called in on the previous show, Freddie Frosty. Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I brought up, and he kind of dismissed me a little bit, but I don't mind, you know. But I, you know, he was talking about what are we going to do with all these people, you know, different ethnic groups and blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why do we have Congress people that are dual citizens? You know, I mean, there's the start of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, if we, yeah, I mean, I,
how
you
do
know,
we allow that?
I find it, you know, it's kind of hard for me to criticize some guy who's washing dishes in a restaurant,
right,
when members of Congress were born in this country. And never even lived in another country, and I'm referring specifically in this case to Israel. They have dual citizenship with Israel.
Yeah, I mean, they put one hand on the Bible, one hand in the air, and swear to uphold the Constitution that I did, you know, 25 years ago when I went to the military. You know, I mean, come on, wake up, people.
Well, right? we have a privileged class in this country, and you know, every time a member of Congress, and I'm only slightly exaggerating here, it
right.
seems like these days every time a member of Congress retires or, you know, runs for a higher office, his son or daughter then steps into his House seat. We even had the governor of Alaska, United States Senator, runs for governor of Alaska, or gets appointed governor of Alaska, I forget which, but he becomes governor of Alaska, and when his Senate seat is opened up, he appoints his own daughter, who's a state senator, to that Senate seat. Now,
yeah.
I don't like laws, but I'll tell you what, there ought to be a law against that.
Well, it's the definition of a hierarchy, oligarchy, you know, right? We pass it down from father to son.
Yeah, I mean, well, in this case, father to daughter. But
daughter, yeah.
Even Duncan Hunter, the Republican congressman from California, he's running for president. And all in all, he's not really a bad guy. He is a pro-Israel fanatic, but you know, and he's a free trader. But you know, all in all, he's had a pretty good voting record. Well, he's now running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And his son is running for his congressional seat. Now,
sure.
You know, it's just... But, you know, it all comes down to it. The voters, if we assume that our elections are
Absolutely.
Not rigged, but I think they are, the voters can vote against that. But, you know, I don't think they're inclined to do it. They just keep on buying this same old, I was going to use a nasty word that I don't want to use in the air, but they keep
right.
on buying this same old garbage
yeah.
from these members of Congress.
Something with cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the cattle.
Yeah. Anyway, another, yeah, exactly. Another point I just want to raise right away.
Go ahead.
19 April, Lexington, Concord, shout heard around the world.
Well, I'll tell you, we need another
that's
Lexington
the,
and Concord.
That's the original 19 April right there.
That's right.
And every American, they used to call it Liberty Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows about that. Well, my children know about it, and everybody in my family knows about it, right?
Well, you have an educated family there.
Well, anyway, we got some good shots over here, too.
All right, keep on
airborne.
Keep on firing away, so to speak. All right, good talking to you. Take care, Ed.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Back. Please get your pen and paper up right now. I'm going to give you the information on the International Holocaust Revisionist Conference being held in Hillsboro, West Virginia, on Memorial Day weekend. That's May 26th and May 27th. I'm going to give you an email and a telephone number. The email is eric@resistance.com. Eric is spelled with an H at the end, eric@resistance.com. And resistance, of course, is spelled R-E-S-I-S-T-A-N-C-E, eric@resistance.com. And again, that's Eric, like you think it's spelled, but with an H at the end, eric@resistance.com. The telephone number now for further information, reservations, et cetera, et cetera, 304-653-4707. Professor Arthur Butts, the author of the world-famous Hoax of the 20th Century, will be there. Also, Willis Cardo, my longtime colleague. You heard him here the other evening. And Ingrid Rimland Zundel, the wife of imprisoned activist Ernst Zundel. I think once you hear Ingrid speak, you'll realize that neither she nor Ernst Zundel, her imprisoned husband, are Zionists or secret Zionists, as no less than Eric Hufschmidt has suggested, Queen Esther Hufschmidt. So you can meet Ingrid Rimland Zundel for yourself and determine whether or not she's a Zionist. And if you listen to Willis Cardo speaking to people, you'll find he's probably not speaking in either Hebrew or Yiddish. Anyway, that's May 26th and 27th. Hillsboro, West Virginia. I might go if I can get away, but I'm working on like about five different books right now, plus my day-to-day work, so I'm quite busy. In any event, folks, the last caller mentioned April 19th being Lexington and Concord commemoration day. And, you know, it's interesting. I am going to go to the phones here in a second, but I want to make this point. You know, we fought for our freedom from the British Empire, which, of course, the British Empire was really a tool of the Rothschild International Financial Empire, looting the world. As I always say, the British Museum in London is actually a museum with all the things stolen from the Third World. But in any case, we fought for our freedom in 1776 and finally won it. And then the British came back in the War of 1812 and tried to take us back, but they failed. Andrew Jackson beat him at the Battle of New Orleans, beat the hell out of the British. Then, of course, the British and the Rothschild Empire played a major part in splitting the country and helping instigate the Civil War. And then both World War I and World War II were fought for the Zionists and the British. And, you know, in even the Korean War, when we were fighting the Koreans, the surrogates for Red China, our so-called British ally, our so-called mother country, was actually trading behind the scenes in military materiel with Red China. Such an ally, folks. Such an ally. My God. I hope you don't buy that line that Israel. Britain is our great ally. Just a comment, folks. Okay, let's go to Rick in Nevada. Rick, come on up.
You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, say, what happened to the archive page?
I'm sorry, what happened to what?
What happened to your archives page?
Okay, the archives are a little bit behind, I understand. They're up to about April 10th, I think. They're having some problems working on it, but you'll be able to tune them in. I was able to listen to my March 30th broadcast the other day, and they'll eventually get things ironed out. RBN, of course, survived a very serious attempt at destroying it from within and from without, and there have been some problems, technical problems, but John and the folks there at RBN are trying to get things ironed out.
Yeah. So, why don't you and Huffman bury the hatchet?
Well, I can't bury the hatchet with someone like him. I mean, he's buried his hatchet in the brains of Ernst Zundel and David Irving and Ingrid Zundel and
I don't know if he's really gone that far as really outright calling him Zionist. But
yes, he has. Yes, he has. I mean, yes, indeed he has. He has said he's even attacked Dr. Stephen Jones.
There's a lot of suspicious activity in what's going on with some of these people that gives rise to a question.
Well, about Ernst Zundel, but Ernst Zundel, who's in jail in Germany, he's attacked Dr. Frederick Tobin. Dr. Tobin was a guest in Eric Hufschmidt's house. Hufschmidt has accused Frederick Tobin, who spent 8 months in jail in Germany, of being a Zionist agent. I mean, I can't bury the hatchet with somebody like this.
Yeah. Well, I never know who the Zionists really are out there. I mean, this is all over the Internet. Nobody knows who's real. Nobody knows who's...
Well, I will say this much. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I will say this much, Rick. I've known Frederick Tobin for a long time. Frederick Tobin is not a Zionist. I know a lot of people who know Ernst Zundel and Ingrid Zundel. I can assure you that they are not Zionists or Zionist agents. I can assure you that Willis Cardo is not a Zionist or a Zionist agent.
I wouldn't be surprised. I tell you, with the Internet, I wouldn't be surprised if Huffman was a Zionist.
I
don't know. Nobody knows anything. These are all faceless people.
Well, Eric Hufschmidt, I was listening to one of his broadcasts the other day. He was ranting and raving about the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the Bronfmans, but he doesn't mention that other family that I mentioned writing about years and years ago in the spotlight as the billionaire gang of four, and that fourth member of that combine is Rupert Murdoch. And, of course, Eric Hufschmidt's sister is married to Rupert Murdoch's son.
Yeah, I think I read something on his website how he doesn't even know his sister.
Well, we have to believe
that
when
he was young.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I personally, and I'll tell you something. Well, I'm not even going to go into it now because I'm going to devote several shows in the near future when I get around to it to discussing this whole thing in detail. But believe me, there is no hatchet to be buried with Eric Hufschmidt because he's buried his hatchet in the brains of too many good people.
Yep.
David Irving, too. David Irving's another Zionist agent. I know David Irving. Mm-hmm. David Irving and I did not speak in Yiddish together the last time we spoke, I can assure you. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway, did you want to talk about something else, Rick?
Well, I don't know. I guess that was probably about it.
Okay,
as your archives page, I can only listen to you 2 days a week, and then generally I come home and then I listen to you off the archives page.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and thank God we do have those archives, and, eventually we'll get them back in shape, and I hope that we're able to get all the archives back, because I thought I had some pretty good shows during the last year, and I hope people will be able to access them.
All right.
All right, thanks, Rick. All righty. Okay, we have our resident cynic. We got to bring him up here, Jim in Texas. Jim, what's going on?
As the resident cynic, I'd like to strike a blow for cynicism and talk about our recent things at Virginia Tech. When the story first broke, and I know you were following it because everybody was.
Actually, I wasn't, but go ahead.
Well, if you were, you would have noticed that they were desperate in the first hour or so of that to blame it on this greasy-haired white fellow in a black pickup truck. It's like saying we have to blame the banjo player in Deliverance because nobody else could do such a horrendous act as this fellow. It's exactly like what happened with Chief Moose, your world-famous chief of police there in Washington, D.C., with the D.C. snipers, who was determined that it was two white fellows in a Isuzu box van that was doing all the shooting, and they wasted 2.5 weeks trying to find these fellows in the van when it turned out to be two black fellows in an old beat-up dark blue Chevrolet El Camino, not El Camino, but Monte Carlo.
You know, Jim, it's funny because, you know, I only did hear a couple reports about, you know, that, as I said, I wasn't paying attention to it. But the one description I heard of the shooter, somebody told me they had described him as having a particular, I think, a purple hat and a black jacket. I don't know if that's what the shooter was actually wearing in the end, but I said, what was his race? And they said, well, they didn't say. And you know what I said at that point? I said, well, that means if they did not mention his race, that means he's not white.
Absolutely. And that's the first thing I got from the thing when they immediately said, well, is there this? And they had to throw in greasy-haired. Now, who's greasy-haired? Let's talk Bill Richardson from Governor of New Mexico, if you want to talk greasy-haired. I mean, this is ridiculous, but nobody gets it. They sit there and they listen to the Fox and MSNBCs and CNNs and all these people, and nobody says, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. That's why I'm the resident cynic, because I can spot this stuff right off the bat.
You know, one time a small-town newspaper that I'm familiar with published a story about the article said flat out, it said, a black man robbed the local bank. And I wrote the editor a letter, and a private letter, and I said, editor, I said, don't you know you're being politically incorrect? You're not supposed to mention the race of a criminal. That's how the Washington Post does.
Unless he's white.
Yeah, well, no, they don't. They have a policy of not, you know, they'll give a description of a criminal. They'll say he's black. No, they'll say he has black hair, a light complexion,
and
wearing a green shirt, and he has a mustache.
They will make some innocuous statement like he could be mistaken for an albino if your eyesight isn't very good. That's how they do things.
And, you know, it's very interesting, Jim, because I notice white people really tripping all over themselves to avoid mentioning the race of somebody. But
yeah,
you will hear black people very freely discussing, you know, someone who's a criminal, who happens to be black. They'll say flat out, they say he's black, he's dark-skinned or light-skinned or this color or that color. But white people are so conditioned to avoid mentioning race that they will not even, they will, you know, they're afraid to describe if someone is black or green or yellow or orange or purple, they'll say it. Or they won't say it, I should say. But if they're white, they'll say it right up front. It's very sad. But again, it's all this conditioning from the media.
And one more part of the cynic coming out in me, which I have no control over because I'm a resident cynic. But anyhow, did you notice that the hero of the whole thing is the Holocaust survivor, the teacher in the one classroom, the Holocaust survivor that gave his own life to save his students?
Well, all I can say is, thank God Hitler didn't get him.
I mean, but this guy is made out to be a hero, and probably all he did was he was 76 years old. What's he doing teaching at 76?
Well,
but anyhow, the point is that he probably didn't do anything, as he was too slow to get away from the door was his problem. And while he was trying to shuffle away from the door on his walker, that the other people managed to get out the window. But all of a sudden, he's a hero and willingly gave his life. And as he gave his life, he was shouting, "Everybody must read the Diary of Anne Frank." I'm sorry I'm such a cynic, but I'm sorry. But
well, no, you have every right to be. That's interesting. I had heard some rumblings about that. Well, rumblings and mumblings, and
it's been on, and they show his picture. And what a wonderful fellow he was, and his students are going to be—they're going to be grateful to him forever and ever and ever, and their grandchildren will bless his name. And there's—it's stupid. It's just
Jim,
so stupid.
Jim, I'll tell you what: there will be a monument. There will be many monuments, and I'm not being crass here. There will be many monuments to what happened yesterday. But I guarantee you there's going to be a bronze bust of that guy.
Absolutely. And he'll be lionized. Well, he's already lionized in all the news media. But Elie Wiesel will speak at the dedication of the plaque honoring this fellow. And he'll have tears streaming down his cheek as he describes how he was thrown into fiery pits in 1943. But then again, him and his father also decided to leave with the Germans in 45 rather than stay there and welcome their Soviet liberators. Nobody says, this whole thing is stupid. It makes no sense. That's why I'm a confirmed cynic. I'm sorry.
Jim, you know, as I always say, I wish you're wrong, but I think you're right.
Well, I'll let you get on to somebody else, Mike.
All right, Jim,
time.
Thanks for your call.
Next time you talk to his eminence, give him my regards.
I'll do that.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. All right, let's go to David in Massachusetts. David, what's going on up there?
Okay, good to talk to you, and I've heard all these remarks here. I don't want to get too, because there's so much been said and well said about what happened yesterday, the mass killing. The only thing I want to say about that is that the person, I understand, was legally in the country, what you call a legal resident alien.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find it very bad that he was able to, unless I'm wrong, you tell me if I'm wrong, he was able to get a permit to purchase weapons.
I don't know. I can't comment. I don't know.
If that is true, then there's something wrong with the state of Virginia for allowing a person who is legally in the country, not being a citizen, to be able to purchase a weapon.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't agree with that law. And the person who did that killing up at Great Barrington, Massachusetts, about 15 years ago or something, 12 years ago, he was from Washington State. And he was able to get the permit to purchase a firearm in Massachusetts easier than a resident of Massachusetts.
Dave, let me tell you something. If I wanted a gun, I could walk out my door and walk probably no more than two or three blocks, if even that. And I could make a couple quick contacts, and I could have a nice arsenal here if I chose to spend the money, which I don't have, but if I chose to spend the money, I could have a nice arsenal of totally illegal weapons that I could keep hidden here and then go out and shoot up the country. Alone just goes to show you that gun control laws really have very little to do with preventing violence, because the people that want to commit violence, if they don't have guns, they'll find other ways to do it. I collect daggers. I could go out and cut people's throats if I chose to do so, but I don't choose to do so, contrary to my friend Dr. Andrew Mathis. These gun control laws are a bunch of crap. And, what's the old saying, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns? And that's absolutely true. That's the way it is in Washington, D.C.
Up in Massachusetts, the gun law, I want to get on to something else, but the gun law in Massachusetts is very stupidly written, where they want you to report to the police your change of address, or otherwise they can make that into a reason to take your license away from you to have a weapon. That's how stupid it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stupidly written law by the legislature. I'm with you 100% in anti these gun laws.
Yeah, and as I say, I've never owned a gun in my life. Now, I never had one, I should say, to make it completely accurate.
I want to do get on to a few points here. This fellow who called before me, the gentleman from Texas, he mentioned some World War II things. And I want to mention to you that in January 1944, Pope Pius XII sent a letter to the Allied War Commission asking that no African troops be used in the invasion of Italy because they had a tendency to rape women.
I heard something about that. Yeah, Dave, hold your thought there. We have the break coming up here.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here with Open Phones. We only have a couple minutes left. We've got Dave, and then we're going to try to squeeze in John from Vermont. So, John, hang on there. Michael Collins Piper on RBN.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn easily, heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
People who use Cardivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cardivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cardivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cardivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cardivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can handle the truth, and that's why we're here. We've got Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, go ahead.
Okay, now here's another point I wanted to bring up about Pius XII. In 1950, he died in 58, incidentally, but in 1950, the Vatican issued a recommendation to Roman Catholics, strongly urging all Roman Catholics never to undergo psychoanalysis.
Really? Interesting.
Now, this ties in very indirectly with the Pope. He didn't do this directly in line with Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin. But those three governments that I just mentioned of those three people were also bitterly against the principles of Sigmund Freud. And all three of those people, including Pius XII, realized that if the principles of Sigmund Freud were brought into play and became a powerful part of the culture of a nation, you would degrade the morality and mentality and personality of an entire country.
Because, I agree. I agree with that.
Psychoanalysis rots the mind, corrupts the soul, and vitiates the spirit. So in that sense, Pius XII was on the side, whether by direction or indirection, of Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini's governments who condemned the same rotten philosophy as psychoanalysis.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Now, here's another point I want to bring out, that in the early 60s, this is a couple of years after Pius XII was dead, certain types began to enter the Roman Catholic clergy. I'm not sure if they were priests, how many years long, whether before he died or not. But after he was dead a couple of years, some unfit types began to show themselves in the Catholic clergy and say that as Catholics and Christians, they could accept the principles of Sigmund Freud. So this shows you how things can change when leadership changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't know how much time I've got left. But
Well, I tell you what, you got a minute or so left. I'm going to run out of time. I won't be able to get the other caller up, but he can call back another evening. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. I don't have enough time to discuss it in full, but I believe that the true reason for the demise of Senator Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin, and I said this on the other program, Rick Adams, was the fact that on the 17th of March, 1954, Colonel McCormick, who owned the Times-Herald, sold it to the Washington Post. And the Washington Post up to that time was not the big moneymaker it is today. But when the Post absorbed the Times-Herald, it was shut down within a year. A lot of people lost their jobs. Only a skeleton crew was hired and went over to the Post. And the Post was able to double its circulation within a number of years.
And I do
think that what McCormick did was far greater than just McCarthy as one person. It added big by helping the Washington Post to continue its big push for internationalism and what we call today globalism. So
you're right. You're right. Absolutely. The demise of the Times-Herald was a real turning point in the affairs of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, the history of our country in the last 50 years. It's too bad that that ever happened.
You know, Sissy Patterson, who was publisher of the Times-Herald, she was once threatened by the Anti-Defamation League and it was the Anti-Defamation League. They didn't like some things in the Times-Herald. She called them in, along with some of the big Jewish advertisers who were threatening to boycott her. And she said, get the blank, blank, blank out of my office. I'm going to publish this paper without any advertising, and then you won't be able to sell your goods. And guess what? They shut up.
Look at
that. And she continued publishing the paper. She was a tough lady. She told the Zionists to go to hell. And we need more people in this country to tell the Zionists to go to hell. Yep. All right, Dave, thanks for your call. Some very interesting points you made there, like all of our callers this evening. Thanks again to everybody. Thanks to John and Sandra and all the good folks at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Michael Collins Piper signing off for the evening. We'll see you here tomorrow night. Probably have some open phones, so you call in if you missed out on it tonight.